Some churches are composed of very similar people.
有些教会众会仅有不同的背景。
Others like this one and Basel Christian Fellowship have very different people.
我们华人教会和巴塞尔的基督教会团有着不同一样的人。
Even when people share a common language, there are many differences.
就算我们说着共同的一种相同的语言，相互之间还是可能有着许多的差异。
We come from different countries.
我们来自不同的国家。
Our primary language may be different.
我们的母语可能不一样。
We are different ages.
我们年纪不同。
We may eat different.
我们也许会吃不同的食物。
Dress different.
穿着不同。
Think different.
思维方式。
We have different jobs.
我们有着不一样的工作。
Different hobbies.
不同的爱好。
Different tastes.
不同的品味。
It's no surprise that there is sometimes conflict.
偶尔产生矛盾也不必惊奇。
But these differences are not the reason.
这些差异呢，都不是最主要的原因。
God intends certain differences to enrich us.
上帝的旨意是要使用这些差异使我们变得更加的富足。
In the midst of differences, God calls the church to live together in unity.
即使面对这么多的差异，神的心意乃是叫教会里活出合一。
In the Bible, one of the greatest differences between people was ethnic.
在圣经中，人与人最大的区别是种族。
Jews and Gentiles were very distinct.
犹太人和外邦人是非常不一样的。
Yet God formed the church as one new man out of these two very different groups.
但是神却定义要叫这两组不同的人，非常不相同的群体，组成一个新的人。
It's God's purpose that we all live in peace with Him.
神的心意是要让我们都一同与他活在平安里。
And it's God's purpose that we live in unity with one another.
神的心意是要让我们彼此的合一。
The letter of Paul to the Ephesians helps us to understand the unity in which we should live.
保罗写给以弗所信徒的以弗所信徒的书信里面，帮助我们明白什么叫活在合一里面。
We find the foundational teaching in the first three chapters.
我们在前三章里面可以找到基础的教导。
Specific application appears in the last three chapters.
后面的章节有具体的应用。
Chapter 4, verse 1 is the pivot point.
第四章第一节的话是一个最重要的转折点。
The first 16 verses of chapter 4 address specifically this task of walking in unity.
第四章前十六节主要是针对如何让我们合而为一。
Verses 1 to 3 relate God's command to walk in unity.
一到三节讲到神给我们的诫命。
Paul gives the basis for unity in verses 4 to 6.
保罗在四到六章节里面给出了合一的基础。
God has also given gifts to the church to enable us to walk in unity.
神也赐给教会恩赐，帮助我们行在合一里面。
Paul describes this in verses 7 to 13.
这些恩赐保罗写在了第七节到十三节。
Finally, verses 14 to 16.
最后十六节到十十四节到十六节。
Paul states that the ultimate goal of walking in unity.
保罗指出，行在合一里面最重要的目的是什么。
And today we will focus only on the first three verses.
我们今天主要把目光集中在前面三节上。
But the whole section tells us important facts about unity.
但是从一到十六节，一整段的经文都阐述了关于合一的重要事实。
You need to be aware of these so that you do not misunderstand.
上下文都很重要，不然很容易曲解经文。
First, unity is something that already exists.
首先，这个一已经存在了。
Verse 3 says, keep the unity of the Spirit.
前面三节说，洁净保守圣灵所赐给合二为一的心。
But unity is also something toward which we are moving.
合一也是我们要前进的目标。
Verse 13 says, until we all reach unity.
十三节写到， 只等到我们众人在真道上同归于一。
Second, unity has the idea of oneness.
第二点，合一的关键是一致性。
Look at verses 4 to 6.
我们看第四节到第六节。
There is one body, one spirit, and one hope.
身体只有一个，圣灵只有一个，同有一个指望。
There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
一主，一信，一喜。
There is only one God and Father.
一神，就是众人的父。
But unity embraces differing gifts in diverse members of the body.
合一同时接纳成员之间的差异和各种的恩赐。
Look at verse 11.
我们看第十一节。
Some were given to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers.
他所赐的有使徒，有先知，有传福音的，有牧师和教师。
Third, unity is founded in the Trinity.
第三点，合一的基础建立在三位一体。
God the Son has a particularly important role.
圣子有着一个非比寻常的角色。
But God instructs believers to be active in keeping and growing in unity.
但是神教导信徒们要积极地保守合一，在合一里面成长。
Now, the opening verses of chapter 4 reveal that this unity will only be achieved when your heart attitude matches the glory of your salvation.
第四章一开篇已经告诉了我们，合一的前提是以蒙召和恩所相称的心意和态度。
Let me repeat that.
我再说一遍。
Unity will only be achieved when your heart attitude matches the glory of your salvation.
只有当你的心意和态度与所蒙召的恩相称，合一才能成为现实。
There are three important parts of this statement that you need to understand.
这句话有三个重要的因素我们需要理解。
First is the concept of the matching.
首先理解什么是相称。
Look please at Ephesians 4 verse 1.
我们一起来读以弗所书四章一节。
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received.
我为主被囚的劝你们，既然蒙召，行事为人，就当以蒙召的恩相称。
The emphasis in Paul's exhortation is on the word worthy or worthily.
在这里，保罗劝解的重点在于“相称”这个词。
It's also translated as a phrase in a manner worthy of.
也被翻译成为“配得上”。
In the original text, that word comes first in the exhortation.
在原文中，“相称”这个词是这句话的第一个字。
And that gives it the emphasis.
这个代表一个重要性。
The background of this word offers a helpful picture of the meaning.
这个词的背景可以帮助我们了解背后承载的图画和意义。
The word meant originally to pull the bar of a balance scale down.
这个词的原意是指将秤的把手向下拉。
Shopkeepers often use balance scales.
生意人经常使用秤。
A balance scale normally has a vertical post.
杆秤有一个垂直的。杠杆。
There's a horizontal bar across the top.
也有一个横杠站在竖杠上面。
And on either side, there's a pan hanging down.
横杠两边有一个小的盘子垂下来。
In one pan, you put a standard weight.
我们把秤砣放在一边的盘子。
In the other pan, you put the object you want to measure.
另外一边用来放重量。
Perhaps you want to buy a kilo of rice.
比如说你要买一公斤的米。
You keep pouring the rice in the pan until it pulls the bar down.
你需要一直把大米倒在盘上，直到它的杠杆被拉下来。
Then the horizontal bar is level.
直到它的杠杆是平衡的。
That is the picture Paul is presenting in Ephesians 4:1.
这就是保罗在以弗所书四章一节中所描述的情形。
He places two objects in the two pans of a balance scale.
他把两个物体放在天平的两边。
One object is the standard.
一边是秤砣。
He describes it as the calling you have received.
一边是那个 标准，保罗把这个标准称之为蒙召。
The other object is your life.
天平另一边是你的生命。
Older translations called it your walk.
更早的翻译也称之为行事为人。
Live your life in a manner that matches your calling.
活出以所蒙召相称的见证。
Now we understand that both the calling and what Paul has in mind about living your life.
现在让我们需要明白的是我们所蒙召的是什么，以及保罗认为我们应当怎样去生活。
We will look at both of them.
这两个问题我们需要一起去认真思考。
But please observe first what Paul is not saying.
首先说请查验保罗没有说什么。
Paul does not say to live your life in order to be called.
保罗没有说我们需要活出以呼召相称的见证才能蒙召。
The calling exists as a standard.
呼召是生活的标准。
The life of those who have been called should measure up to the calling.
已经蒙召的生命应该有相称的见证。
Now we can understand the standard, the calling, by going back to chapters 1 to 3.
明白准则，即使信徒所蒙的召呼召。
The words calling or called are used but once in the first three chapters.
想要了解我们生活的准则，我们需要回顾前面的一章三节。
And it's clear that the term refers to our salvation.
很清楚的，这个词指的是我们要救赎。
And other passages support that.
其他的经文支持这个观点。
Ephesians 1 through 3 reveals how glorious this calling is.
以弗所书一章三节揭示出这呼召是何等的荣美。
It describes how great is our salvation.
这里形容的是我们救恩是如何的伟大。
Now this deserves study, which is too much for one sermon.
光是这件事本身就值得我们仔细的查考，以至于一整节都讲的都不够。
But it's possible to highlight a few things that pertain to the believer's calling.
但是我们可以来挑出一部分有关信徒蒙召的亮点。
The whole Godhead is involved in the calling of people to himself.
整个三位一体的神全部位格都参与呼召人归向他自己。
God the Father chose those he calls before the foundation of the world.
圣父拣选在创世以先就拣选了将要蒙召的人。
Chapter 1 verses 3 to 6.
这是第三，一章三到六节。
God the Son, Jesus Christ, redeemed those God calls.
圣子耶稣基督赎回了蒙召的人。
It's chapter 1, verses 7 to 12.
这是一章七到十二节。
Look briefly at chapter 1, verses 7 and 8.
我们一起读一章七到八节。
Can you...
我们借这爱子的血得蒙救赎。过犯得以赦免，乃是照他丰盛的恩典。第八节，这恩典是神用诸般智慧、聪明、充充足足赏给我们的。
Note those words, riches and lavish.
注意这里的措辞，例如丰富和充充足足。
Verse 18, Paul specifically mentions the calling.
十八节，保罗特别提出恩召。
There he refers to the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints.
这里他指出神丰盛的荣耀在圣徒所得的基业中显现出来。
These verses describe the weightiness of the standard that is put in this scale.
这就是放在天平一边生活的准则的重量。
God the Spirit seals those who are called.
圣灵是蒙召信徒的印记。
It's chapter 1, verses 13 and 14.
在一章的十三节和十四节。
God gives the Spirit as a guarantee of final future salvation.
神赐给我们圣灵作为将来要临到我们身上的最终救赎。
Second, God gives new life to those he calls.
第二，神将新生命赐给他所呼召的圣徒，圣经将其称之为重生。
That's chapter 2, verses 1 to 10.
那是二章一到十节。
The Bible calls it regeneration.
过去我们这些信徒死在过犯中、罪恶当中。
Previously, the believer was dead in trespasses or transgressions and sins.
Too fast. 过去我们这些信徒死在过犯、罪恶当中。
But God is rich in mercy.
但是神既有丰富的怜悯。
It's chapter 2, verse 4.
那是第二章的四节。
He made the believer alive with Christ.
使叫我们与基督一同活过去。过来。
Chapter 2, verse 5.
在二章五节。
God gives this life by his grace.
神借着他的恩典赐给我们新的生命，这是一个礼物。
It's a gift.
是份礼物。
God has seated the believer with Christ in the heavenly realms.To show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus.
神也使我们一同与耶稣一同坐在天上，为的是要显明他极丰富的恩典，就是他在基督耶稣里向我们所施的恩慈。
That's chapter 2, verse 7.
在二章的七节。
God draws to Himself those He has called.
神领带蒙召的信徒以自己亲近。
He makes believers together to be a holy dwelling for himself.
他建造信徒，让我们一起成为神圣的居所。
It's chapter 2, verses 21 and 22.
这是二章二十一节、二十二节。
God has established a special relationship to those whom he called.
神跟每一个人所蒙召的信徒都建立了特殊的关系。
Those he called can now come to him.
蒙召的人可以直接来到他的面前。
Chapter 3, verse 12.
三章十二节。
God, out of his glorious riches, strengthens with power those he called.
神按着他丰盛的荣耀，叫你们心里的力量刚强起来。
Chapter 3, verse 16.
三节六十六十六三章十六节。
His love surpasses knowledge.
他的爱是过于人所能够测量的。
Chapter 3, verse 19.
三章十九节。
And he is able to do for us more than we can even imagine.
他的作为超过了我们所求所想的。
Chapter 3, verse 20.
在三章的二十节。
This is the standard weight which God puts in the one pan on the balance scale.
这就是神放在天平的一侧的那个秤砣。
Now Paul says to live your life in a manner that brings the scale back into balance.
保罗叫我们活出生命的见证，使天平可以平衡。
Live a life that fits the riches of the glory of your salvation in Christ.
活出的生命应当跟我们基督里充满丰盛荣耀的恩救恩相称。
So what can we put in the scale on this side?
我们能在天平的另外一边放什么东西呢？
What can we contribute that would be any match to our call?
我们能够摆上什么样以所蒙的恩召所相称呢？
Well, chapters 4 through 6 answer that question.
四章的四节到六节帮助我们回答这个问题。
We should conduct ourselves in unity.
我们应该所行的事情上竭力保守合一。
It's chapter 4, 1 through 16.
就是四章一到十六节。
We should live differently than the Gentiles.
我们活着应该与外邦人有所不同。
It's chapter 4, verse 17 through chapter 5, verse 2.
四章的十七节一直到五章的二节。
We should live holy and as children of light.
我们的生活应该是圣洁的，如同光明之子。
Chapter 5, verse 3 through 14.
五章的三到十四节。
We should live wisely.
我们应当有智慧。
Chapter 5, verse 15 through chapter 6, verse 9.
五章十五节到六章九节。
And we should be strong in the Lord.
我们要在主里面刚强壮胆。
Chapter 6, verse 10 to 20.
六章的十节到二十节。
And all begins with the right attitude.
这一切都是一个正确的态度。
And this is what Paul explains in verses 2 and 3.
这正是保罗在四章二到三节中所解释的。
And he lists five qualities of a right attitude.
他列举了五个关键的正确态度的特质。
The first quality which he mentions is humility.
首先第一个特质就是谦卑。
He Humility is the opposite of pride.
谦卑的反义词是骄傲。
This is obvious in such proverbs as Proverbs 29:23.
这在箴言的29:23里面可以看出来。
A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor.
人的高傲必使他 卑下，心里谦虚的人的必得荣耀。
The Greek translation of the Old Testament uses the identical word as in Ephesians 4:2.
以弗所书4:2里面的谦虚跟箴言，旧约的希腊译本里面所提到的谦虚是一个词。
Pride can be damaging to unity.
骄傲可以破坏合一。
Humility fosters unity.
谦卑培育合一。
The proud person asserts himself.
骄傲的人会推崇自己。
Pride is not necessarily a false assessment of one's ability, knowledge, or status.
骄傲不一定是指对于自己的能力、知识或者是地位做出的恰当的判断。
The proud person, because of their ability, knowledge, or status, believes that others should listen to them.
一个骄傲的人可能以为他的能力、知识或者地位认为其他的人就是应该听他自己的。
Others should do as they say.
其他的人就应该按照他自己的说法去做。
It's difficult for the proud person to accept the input of others.
骄傲的人难以接受其他人的建议。
This is especially true in areas of their own competence.
特别是在自己的才能领域当中。
Jesus is the ultimate example of humility.
耶稣是谦卑的终极榜样。
He said that he was humble, as recorded in Matthew 11:29.
他说自己谦卑柔和，这记载在马太福音11:29。
Paul wrote that Jesus humbled himself.
保罗写道，耶稣虚己，起了奴仆的样式。
If anyone had status and ability and knowledge, it was Jesus.
这个世上最有地位和知识人就是耶稣。
Yet he was humble.
即使如此，他还是那样的谦卑。
He did not demand any special treatment.
他不要求人给他特殊的待遇。
Instead, he was obedient to all of the commands of God the Father.
而他顺服天父所有的命令。
He kept the law.
他守了全部的律法。
And he was obedient all the way to the cross.
他顺服到底，一直到上十字架。
The proud person sows disunity when they insist upon their own way among others.
骄傲的人，当他们在坚持己见的时候，就会埋下一个不合一的种子。
If they keep quiet, they sow disunity in their own hearts.
如果他们保持沉默，就会在他们自己的内心里埋下一个不合一的种子。
Instead, God wants in us a Christ-like humility.
神想要我们所有的人都像耶稣一样的谦卑。
And that helps build unity.
这才是建立合一的。
The second quality which we need is gentleness.
第二个需要的是特质，就是温柔。
Gentleness is closely related to humility.
温柔和谦卑是两个姐妹。
Paul groups the two together in this verse.
保罗特别将两者在同一个经节中。
They appear together in Colossians 3:12.
他们在哥罗西书3:12也一起出现。
Jesus relates the two ideas in Matthew 11:29.
耶稣也在马太福音11:29中将两者联合在一起。
An attitude of self-importance makes gentleness difficult.
自高自大的态度跟温柔相驳逆。
Shortly after Jesus claimed to be humble and gentle, Matthew records that such things were happening to fulfill Isaiah.
在耶稣宣称自己谦卑柔和之后，马太立即记载，这样为的是成全以赛亚书。
Among other things, Isaiah said of the Christ, "A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out."
以赛亚书关于基督写道：“压伤的芦苇他不折断，粘缠的烛火他不吹灭。”
This is a picture of gentleness.
这就是温柔的写照。
The flame of a candle or a lamp is ready to go out.
一个蜡烛或者油灯里面的烛火快要熄灭了。
The wick is just smoldering.
灯芯闪烁着微弱的光。
You cannot blow hard, or it will indeed go out.
如果你狠狠地向它吹气，烛光肯定会熄灭。
You gently flame the flame back to life.
如果你轻柔的风，就可以将蜡烛挑得更旺，起死回生。
People are sometimes like bruised reeds and smoldering wicks.
人有的时候就像那压伤的芦苇和僵残的烛火。
They are hurt.
他们受伤了。
And they need gentle care.
他们需要温柔的安慰和关怀。
The gentle person is neither rude nor harsh.
温柔的人不可以粗鲁，也不可以刻薄。
Gentle people have their emotions and strength under control.
温柔的人有很好的掌管自己情绪的力量。
The sin, failings, and weaknesses of others do not easily provoke them.
他人的罪、失败和软弱不会轻易地惹怒他们自己。
Striving for unity does not ignore the wrong.
竭力的保守合一，不等于包庇他的错误。
Sometimes you must correct the wrong.
有的时候你要去纠正他们犯错的人。
This is necessary that we grow together, united in Christ.
这是必须的，是我们可以一同在基督里面成长。
But you need gentleness when correcting in order to foster unity.
但是当我们纠正他人、培育合一的时候，我们需要温柔。
Galatians 6:1 tells us to restore the person caught in sin with a spirit of gentleness.
加拉太书六章一节告诉我们，应当用温柔的心，把被过犯所胜的人挽回过去。
Paul told Timothy he must gently instruct those who oppose him.
保罗劝解提摩太要以温柔劝解那抵挡自己的人。
Gentle instruction hopes that God will give them repentance.
温柔的劝解寄希望神会使他们悔改。
Unfortunately, we often do not see quick change.
不幸的是，我们经常看不到迅速的改变。
Therefore, we need the next quality which Paul lists.
所以我们需要保罗，我们需要保罗下达的下一个特质。
We need patience or long suffering.
我们需要忍耐，也就是长久的忍耐。
Patience is a character quality of God.
忍耐是神标志性的特征之一。
He is patient even towards sinful people.
他甚至向罪人同样有耐心。
Therefore, it rightly belongs to the fruit of the Spirit.
这样看来，忍耐心必须属于圣灵九种果子之一。
A number of ideas come together in this word, which is translated patience.
凡有概念的起来构成耐心。
First, there is a sense of endurance.
首先就是耐力。
It keeps going and does not stop.
耐力的意义在于持续不断。
Second, it holds back.
第二，耐心包括克制。
There's no retaliation.
没有报复的心。
There is a reluctance to do anything that might be wrong.
不愿意做出任何可能带来伤害的举动。
Third, it preserves an even temperament.
第三，耐心包含着，保持着平和的心态。
It does not easily get angry.
不轻易的发怒。
Nor does it easily get depressed.
也不轻易的落入退丧。
The patient person keeps plodding along until the job is done.
有耐心的人持续殷勤的工作，直到他达到目标。
The need for patience is often obvious.
很明显，我们需要耐心。
We live in a society that wants things quickly.
我们活在一个浮躁的社会里面，什么东西都要快。
You may get a text message back quickly.
我们可能可以得到很快的短信回复。
But people do not change quickly.
但是人的本性很难。
You need patience.
我们需要耐心。
When you are moving toward the same goal, you need patience.
当我们向同一个目标前进的时候，我们需要耐心。
Not everyone understands the goal.
不是每个人都理解这个目标。
They need time to learn.
他们需要足够的时间去学习。
Not everyone moves at the same speed.
不是每一个人前进的速度都是一样的。
They need more time than others.
有的人需要的时间会比别人多。
You need patience to allow that.
我们需要耐心来忍耐。
When our children were small, they listened to a song about having patience.
在我孩子小的时候，他们会听一首歌，关于耐心。
It told them to remember the times when others had to wait for them.
这首歌里唱的是提醒我们，记得别人在等我们的时候。
It reminded them that God is patient with us.
提醒我们要记得神对我们有何等大的耐心。
Now, these are good practical reminders that help being patient.
这些都是好的实际的提醒，帮助我们更加的有耐心。
The quality of patience moves smoothly to the next quality which is needed.
下一个特质是耐心有着密切的关联。
We are to bear one another in love.
我们需要用爱心互相的包容，或者在爱中相互的担待。
You are bearing or carrying nothing if you just pick it up and put it back down.
如果你把一样物品捡起来放下。
You may have lifted it, but you did not bear it.
这不是担待，如果你只是捡起来，你没有去承担这个物体的重量。
Just as patience keeps on going, bearing one another in love suggests continuance.
我们需要耐心去持续地承担这份重量，在爱中互相的宽容。担待含义在以持续的承担。
To bear someone suggests the need to be carried.
互相担待背后是对方所需要的被宽容和忍耐。
There may be weaknesses or spiritual failure.
这里可能会是软弱或者属灵的跌倒。
Bearing someone in love implies continuing to love them despite those weaknesses or sin.
在爱中相互接待的意义在于持续的去爱，即使对方在软弱和跌倒的时候。
Bearing one another in love does not mean ignoring sin.
在爱中互相担待不代表着忽视罪。
Love calls for proper gentle rebuke.
相爱代表我们应该有训教，教训，是温柔的劝导。
It does mean forgiving.
代表着饶恕。
It does mean accepting repentance.
意义在于接受悔改。
It means it even if it happens 70 times 7.
以至于是70个七次。
It means assisting that person to turn from sin.
相爱的意义也包含帮助陷入罪中的兄弟们回转向主。
This is both an aid to unity and an evidence of unity.
在爱中相互的扶持有助于合一，同时也是合一的标志。
You are working together, united, when you bear with one another in love.
当我们在爱中相互担待，我们就可以合一的为主做工。
You bring them along in your combined effort to mature in Christ.
每个弟兄姐妹都要相互扶持，一起在基督的生命里面成长。
You cannot mature effectively by yourself.
单个的会众没有办法靠着自己成长。
You foster unity and maturity as you bear one another in love.
在爱中相互扶持可以有效地培养合一和生命成长。
Paul's final quality here is diligence.
保罗的最后一个特质是勤恳。
Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit.In the bond of peace.
勤恳的态度有助于我们去保守圣灵在平安的，平安的约中所赐的合一，合而为一。
The word diligence can have the sense of hurrying.
勤恳或者殷勤的含义包含着对时间严格的把控。
It means taking something seriously.
也包括认真的对待事物。
It means being zealous.
也代表了热忱。
You should rush to put effort into a task.
我们需要抓紧时间去带出一件事的果效。
Unity of the Spirit most likely means unity of the Holy Spirit.
英语里面灵的合一意思是和圣灵的合一。
Translations rightly capitalize Spirit.
英文翻译了灵 Spirit 大写 S。
This unity is the oneness which exists because all believers are joined together in one body by the Holy Spirit.
合一代表着一致性，这种一致性只有在圣徒都一起被圣灵塑造成一个身体， 才可能发生。
God has made peace between him and believers.
神已经与所有的信徒和好，建立了和平。
He did this by the death of Jesus, who paid the penalty of our sin.
神通过耶稣的死为我们付上了罪的代价。
God has established peace between believers, even between Jews and Gentiles.
借此，神使得信徒之间可以有平安，甚至于犹太人和外邦人中间也是如此。
And peace allows us to be drawn together.
神所赐给的平安使我们可以被集合在一起。
As we draw closer to God, we draw closer to one another.
使我们更加的亲近，我们就会彼此的更加的亲近。
Preserving the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace means tolerating one another when there are differences.
竭力保守圣灵所赐合一的心，就是包容彼此的差异。
It means appreciating the differences which God has created.
也包括欣赏神所创造众多的差异，这也意味着做和平之子。
It also means seeking to make peace.
这意味着做和平之子。
Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers."
耶稣在登山宝训中说，使人和睦的人有福了。
Remember that unity is not equal to peace.
请记住，合一不等于和睦。
A lack of fighting does not mean that there is unity.
彼此没有纷争，不代表着真正的合一。
Peace is that which helps maintain unity.
和平可以帮助保持合一。
If you are fighting, you will not draw together.
如果彼此的争分，我们就不可能有彼此的亲近。
Peace allows you the freedom to draw together.
和睦赋予了我们自由，被聚集在一起。
You can unite in the purpose God has given.
为神赐给我们使命集合。
We do not create unity by removing differences.
我们不能挪去差异，不能而带来合一。
We practice unity in how we handle those differences.
我们需要练习处理差异，保持合一。
And the right attitude is necessary.
正确的态度是必须的条件。
And the attitude will express itself in action.
态度会在行动中被表达出来。
There should be humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another in love, and a diligence to preserve the unity of the Spirit.
竭力保守圣灵的合一，需要谦卑、温柔、忍耐，在爱中彼此的搀扶，还有殷勤。
This attitude is just a part of knowing how to live in unity.
这些态度只是认识如何活出合一的一个部分。
And living in unity is just a part of your lifestyle, part of what the Bible calls your walk.
活在合一中应该是我们日常生活的一部分，即圣经所说的行事为人。
Living in unity is one item which we add to the pan on the balance scale.
活在合一是一种我们可以发生在天平一侧的重量。
Walk worthily of your calling.
行事为人，当以蒙召的恩典相称。
The riches and glory of your calling are on one side.
我们恩召的丰盛与荣耀在天平的另一侧。
Your glorious salvation has put that pan down on the tabletop.
我们荣耀的救恩已经把天平放在了桌子上。
A God-pleasing lifestyle balances the scale.
蒙神喜悦的生活方式帮助我们平衡这个天平。
And living in unity contributes to that God-pleasing lifestyle.
活在合一里是蒙神喜悦的生活方式之一。
There is no balance scale for becoming a child of God.
这成为神的而你需要任何平衡的天平。
God does not weigh good deeds against bad.
神不是要衡量好行为或者坏行为。
The bad, any bad, must be punished.
坏行为，任何一种坏行为都会被惩罚。
All our good does not remove the bad which we have done.
我们所做的好行为都不能代替我或者抹去我们的任何错误。
But God, in His love for us, punished His perfect sinless Son in our place.
但是神已经为着我们的缘故惩罚了他完美无罪的独子。
He calls the sinner to turn from sin and come to Jesus.
他正在呼召罪人从罪中回转，归向耶稣。
When you come to Jesus, you receive forgiveness.
当你来到耶稣的面前，你就会得到赦免。
You are among those who have been called.
你正在被神所呼召。
Now your life is measured against the glory of your calling.
现在你的生命也被丈量、衡量，天平的那一头就是神呼召的荣耀。
Does your life measure up against the glories of your calling?
你的生命达标了吗？以神的恩典相称吗？
Strive to live in unity through having the proper attitude.
竭力追求用正确的态度活出合一。
Be humble, gentle, and patient.
应该谦虚，学习温柔和忍耐。
Bear one another in love.
在爱中相互的担待扶持。
Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace.
殷切地追求圣灵的合一，用和平彼此的联络。
As you do, you will be honoring the God who called you.
这么做的同时，你就在荣耀呼召你的神。
You will be working on a lifestyle that measures up to your calling.
如果你就在这当中锻炼以恩召相称的生活方式。
Amen.
谢谢。